Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe I'm live, maybe not. This is Dawn Poniente, Fernando's wife, and my co-host is not available today, Mary. She had something else planned for today, so it's just going to be me and any callers. The phone number to call in is 347-884-8125, and so we're going to be talking about current events, politics, and religion. And so we're going to start off with an article I found. It was sent an email. It was sent to me from a Liberty Council. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Liberty Council is the Christian liberty organization that they try to fight for the freedom of Christians. The chairman, founder and chairman is Matt Staver, and so what's going on is that with the backing of cooperating attorneys of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, NCLR, homosexual activists have filed a motion in court seeking to fine Liberty Council $128,697, and I'm wondering why they're doing that. I mean, they're trying to say, first of all, where did they come up with that figure? And second of all, why are they suing Liberty Council? You know what I mean? We're here for freedom of speech. They want freedom of speech, so then... why are they trying to fight against our freedom of speech? And then, so that's my question about that. If you want to hold on, we're going to play some music. Okay, and I'm back, and this is my first time doing this radio show, and like I said, I don't even know if anybody out there can hear me, so I guess either you guys can hear me, or you can't. I know I can hear the music when I play it, so maybe you guys can hear me, and if not, then I apologize, and so this is me, and okay, so we're going to carry on, and we're going to go back to that article about and find out a little bit more about why the National Center for Lesbian Rights thinks they have a right to sue a Christian organization. I mean, I don't think the Christian organization is really doing anything bad to them, so let's read what Liberty Council has to say about this, and then I will see if I can find something about what, you know, so we can hear both sides' stories. But let me just read to you a little bit or some of that, what Liberty Counsel says. They said, Matt Staver, I'm thinking is who's writing this, says, I must fight these legal bullying tactics. I have never seen such intimidating tactics. They argue that Liberty Counsel is engaged in a national campaign to take away the rights of homosexuals and that we must be stopped. They want us fined for exercising our right to free speech and for legally defending traditional family values. This, my friend, is the latest tactic of the militant homosexuals to silence all opposition. The papers filed with the appeals court are full of inflammatory language against us, whining and complaining that Liberty Counsel is litigating throughout the country and furthering of its mission to strip lesbians and gays of their fundamental rights. To information on our website in which we describe victories in cases upholding traditional family values. Their admitted purpose is to discourage us from representing any parent who is at risk of losing their parental rights to the homosexual agenda. Their actions are outrageous for sure, but we cannot ignore them. These advocates of the radical homosexual and transsexual agenda are trying to turn Liberty Counsel's legitimate legal argument in defense of family into a hate crime that must be punished. And so that's what they had to say. They said also, I never thought I would see the day that someone would ask the government to impose fines and punishment for believing in traditional family values. We must make sure that we are experiencing in this court case, what we are experiencing in this court case does not become commonplace. The Liberty Counsel team is in the crosshairs because our attorneys are fighting the battle for the sanctity of marriage in courtrooms across America. And so I don't know if anybody's out there listening and maybe they've thought of becoming a lawyer. I once upon a time did want to become a lawyer. People said I have, like at the time, that I was very persuasive and that I would be a good lawyer. I may still have that, you know, within me, but I decided not to go that route because I figured that all lawyers are, like, you know, bad, like you see on the movie with Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar, you know, and so I kind of, I heard a lot of bad things about lawyers at the time, so I decided not to go that way, but then I found out about this, this organization called Liberty Counsel, and they're not about lying. They're about Christian values. And so if you are thinking about becoming a paralegal or a lawyer, they can use good people that really believe in fighting for Christian rights. So their website, if you want more information, is, I believe it's Liberty Counsel or LibertyCounsel.com or .org, but let me see where it would be because I haven't been to their actual website for a while. But it is Liberty Counsel. Here's their address and phone number. That's Liberty Counsel, P.O. Box 540774, Orlando, Florida. That's FL, zip code 32854, and I'll be repeating that two more times if necessary. And then the phone number is 1-800-671-1776. And again, that's Liberty Counsel, P.O. Box 540774, Orlando, Florida, FL, that is abbreviation 32854 is the zip code. And then the phone number is 1-800-671-1776. And once more, like I said, I will be repeating it. If you are interested in helping out, whether with a donation or want to be more information about becoming a lawyer, this is where you would, this is their address, Liberty Counsel, top line, P.O. Box 540774, middle line, Orlando, Florida, FL is the abbreviation for that, zip code 32854 is the bottom line. And then their phone number is toll-free, 1-800-671-1776. And And our phone number, my phone number to reach me at the Blog Talk Radio, the Great Inferno Show, is 347-884-8125. And you may need to, depending on the phone you're using, you may need to dial one in front of it, and some phones you don't need to dial one in front of the area code. So that's some information about that. So if you are looking to do something positive in America to help us to return back to the way we were founded upon, we were not founded upon something bad or evolution. We were founded upon Christopher Columbus came here seeking a new land that he would have freedom of religion. It is not for Christians to condemn other religions, but it is if we are... we are here to tell people what the Bible says, and it is between them and God. People is between people and God what they do once they have that information. So that is what Christians' job is to do, is to let people know, and as the Word says in Romans, that and you shall know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. And Jesus is also known as truth. We're going to go over here to read a little bit of the Bible. Let's see, I'm looking for a particular package. Not package, well, it could be a package. A particular passage, and it says that people, God's people lack. You know, when they lack, they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So I know I have heard it said before, and I believe it's in Isaiah, but offhand I cannot find it. But let me type it in with the handy dandy computer and internet, and let's see if I can find it. And if you would like to listen to some of that music, Ant-Man, here we go. Wisdom is, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12 says, wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor, which is all of the Bible is true, including that verse. I know we did a cinch radio talk show, my husband and I, and we were talking about this verse about my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We weren't sure where that was, but I figured that if I could look it up, then perhaps I could let you guys know, because it is good to know where things are located. You know, verses are located in the Bible that you remember, and it's good to remember where they are. So it's good to have, like, the, you know, it's in Hosea, not in Isaiah. It rhymes, perhaps, with Isaiah, but it's in Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, and it's chapter 4, verse 6, says, "My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest." And yes, God does call us. I believe he calls us priests in 1 Peter. And continuing on, it says, "Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." Also, what that verse says, let me see if I can get the whole book up here of Hosea chapter 4. Not the whole book, but the Hosea chapter 4. Let's see, where is that? It's like pretty, I thought it was a short book, but it's not. Let's see. The baby is over here standing by me. We have a baby boy, and he's standing by me being a good boy. Usually he tries to climb on my lap, but he's being a good boy. He's just standing here drinking his milk. Let's see, Hosea. Okay, and then, let's see. Let's continue. I'll check and see if I have any callers. No callers yet, so let's go ahead and read the whole book, because I was taught that, you know, you can't just pull a verse out. You have to read before and behind. It says, I don't have any callers right now. I'll just read a whole chapter if it's not too long. And it's, well, I mean, not too long, but if it's not like no chapter of the Bible is too long. But so we're going to go ahead and read that. Hosea chapter 4, the charge against Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, there is only cursing, lying, and murder. Well, I do believe there are good people still in America, but if you really look around, like, there is increasing, this is increasing in numbers about the people in America, and, you know, we just really need to repent. Repent means to change our ways, you know, to turn, say we're sorry, acknowledge that it's wrong to do these things such as lying and murder, stealing and adultery. You know, I mean, if you really look at, I mean, for instance, there are some parts of this country that this is more seen than in other parts of the country. However, I do also believe that it's in numbers. I mean, if you go to a town of like 2,000, may 50 people do it. But if you go to a town of like, you know, 50,000, there might be like, you know, 500 people doing it, but, you know, or, you know what I mean, like, maybe, but it's like, my point is, it's in percentages too. Maybe the town is smaller, but it's the same percentage-wise as a bigger town. That's what I'm saying. I am going to have to put you with some music. Let's see what my husband has here, Night Under, and I will try to be back soon. Okay, I have still no callers, so we will continue on. I had to take a little break. You probably could hear me telling my daughter to turn off her radio she just got for her Christmas present, MP3 player. It's older than an iPod, you know, it came out before iPod, but still it works the same. Maybe not the same, but it still works, so it's fine. But anyway, continuing on what I was saying about reading this verse 2 of Hosea There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. You hear about those gang people, gangbangers, or wannabe gangbangers, and one, you know, kills one, and then they're, you know, so like, I don't know, I'm not really familiar with Bloods and Crips, but I, where I was from, there was called, like, kings and folks, you know, like, kings, I don't remember their colors. Unknowns was with kings, and unknowns was black and white, and folks was blue, was baby blue and black, their colors. And maybe, I don't know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't remember what kings were. But, you know, first of all, it gives bad name to kings. But anyway, like, not the kings, the gang. I'm talking about kings, like, respected authorities that God put over us. But my point is, like, if a king, you know, king kills a folk, then a folk goes and kills a king, and so on and so on and so on and so on, you know. And because of this, the land mourns. Yes, yes, people definitely mourn. And not just, like, people, but the actual land, you know. I mean, the land. So we're going to continue on and read this. Hosea chapter 4, verse 3. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increased, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And they will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. But they will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not increase. Because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding of my people. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters turn to prostitution, and your daughters-in-law to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth-Aven. And do not swear, as surely as the Lord lives. Though the Israelites are stubborn like a stubborn heifer, how then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in a meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. So, may God bless this word of wisdom that God put in the, you know, in the Bible, and a couple thoughts on, you know, well, it is good to be informed, but there is definitely needs to be a balance. You know, we need to keep up with the news, but we have to be careful of where we get our news from, such as like CNN tends to be very liberal and corrupt, versus Fox News tries to be fair and balanced, and maybe you may see a more conservative side to the Fox News network. And I think that's because they're trying to just be fair and balance out what the other news networks are, you know, doing. I mean, look at it. If you really look at it, it's like, you know, Fox News is one versus, like, at least four or more, like, liberal, you know, news networks, you know. So they're kind of like, yeah, they're, I mean, but I personally, my husband and I, we personally like to listen to Fox News. And so Well, and yes, we are conservative, and I also, you know, knowledge comes from, you know, this kind of knowledge can come from, like, being informed, but it also, I believe, knowledge comes from God, spending quiet time with God, you know, whether you have kids or not. I mean, you have to teach your kids about quiet time. I used to do that. I used to go down and pray, you know, or, like, kneel down and pray and tell them that, you know, pray next to me or go to their room or go play, you know, and they were trained that way. But then when we had a couple more kids, I think we had two or three kids at the time, probably, and, you know, as time went on, I think I got out of the habit and would just have it be nap time. Well, the Lord's been helping me where I'm starting to tell him, you know, it's quiet time because our three-year-old, she's almost four, and she's getting to the point where she's like, I'm not tired. I don't want to, because she wants to watch TV, you know. You have to lay down whether you're tired or not. You know, you can use this time. Like, you know, I know the five-year-old, she's pretty smart. I know they're capable of at least a five and a seven and a nine-year-old capable of understanding what quiet time is. I mean, because, yes, we try to pray. It's not like glory to me or anything, but may God be glorified. We try to pray in the morning, and we try to pray at nighttime. Sometimes we pray in the middle of the day, but, you know, I do want them to realize that it's good to pray together, but it's also good to pray just by our, you know, with us and the Lord. And I believe, you know, there's time to pray, there's a time to praise God, and there's a time to be quiet and listen for God. So that's what about knowledge that I'm going to say about knowledge. And then as I was telling you about priests, we are called priests. I'm going to look for that in 1 Peter. Let's see. Yep, so things are going, you know, it's almost the end of that. While I'm looking for that verse, I just want to, like, you know, get that confirmation. I do believe that I've read that before, but, you know, I don't want to, like, mislead anybody, so that's why I'm looking up the verse, you know, just being safe side. The place that I go to look up verses is BibleGateway.com. You could type in, like, keywords. I mean, I'm not very internet literate or something, you know, but I try. I try to, you know, look up things, and my husband's a lot better at that than me, but so I found it, and I'm going to go ahead and look up something. So I'm almost there. I know it's in Peter, and I'm, like I said, I'm kind of new. I mean, not new, but I used to not really like the internet personally, because whenever, like, years ago, I would try to go on the internet and look something up, so I get so frustrated. But something that helps me a lot, like, lately, well, I mean, yeah, Google, but Google helps, you know, definitely. And then there's also this toolbar that you can download. It says, like, Shopping Superhighway something. Maybe on my next show I'll have that. But my husband, he designed it, and if you want to know how to get it, you can just go to you can eat, you know, like go to shopinsuperhighway.com. That's shopinsuperhighway.com. And find the contact us button at the bottom of the page, and that has our picture on there, and you can just go ahead and contact us and just write us a little note saying that you want to know how to get the Shopping Superhighway toolbar. Because like I said, I'm not very, he told me once and I wrote it down somewhere and I can't remember where I wrote it down. We have this like where it's a toolbar, all we have to do, we don't even have to go to Google or anything. Because our company, Market America, we're independent distributors with Market America, and they actually partnered with Google. That's like Google has never partnered with anybody, and it's a very big step for Google to partner with anybody. So they partner with Market America, and so my husband made this toolbar that all you have to do is like click here, you know, and type in what you want to know, and it will go search automatically. You don't even have to, it's just one step. You don't have to go to your toolbar and your address bar and then click Google, you know, and then go look, you know. So it's kind of a shortcut. And then also, like, you can shop off our website. It has shopping carts with a toolbar that all you have to do is, like, he made it where it's alphabetically. So if you'd like to go to Nordstrom.com, you highlight the N, you know. You can even, like, when you sign in on our website as a preferred customer, you can even earn MA rewards, Market America rewards, and get free products, you know, test them out. So that is how you can find out how to get the toolbar. I don't see it written down in my black book, which is somewhere where I write stuff down so I don't forget, because, you know, I write paper and I forget where I put it. But anyways, that really helps. My point is, like, that having, like, the internet, having this shortcut to on our toolbar that my husband installed, he made it where other people can install it too. Even like Blog Talk Radio right here, he added that to the toolbar too, so then you don't have to, like, you know, go to Blog Talk. You can just click on that and it will direct you to blogtalkradio.com. So let me see if anybody's calling yet. No callers. All right, so back to what I was saying about the word priest is in the First Peter, and that is chapter 2, I believe. Yes. As long as I'm not having a caller right now, I'm going to go ahead and read. First Peter chapter 2 is in a New Testament, towards the back. Says, therefore, rid yourselves, and that's this First Peter is after Hebrews. First Peter chapter 2, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That word tasted, by the way, is mentioned in Psalm 31, I believe, and 31 or 32, verse 7, I believe it is. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good, and that his mercy endures forever. And tasting involves the brain. That's how you can, like, I wake up, and I'm so thankful God helps me to just say, this is going to be a yummy, yummy day, you know. I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. God is merciful. He gave me another day. You know, it's why some people say that's why the day today is called the present, because it's a present from God. All right. Every day that you're alive, you know, may you live it to Jesus Christ. Continuing on, it says, verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, talking about Jesus, all right, continuing on, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone,
and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that is what 1 Peter chapter 2 says. We have 21 minutes remaining, and if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 347-884-8125. You may or may not, depending on what phone you are using, you may or may not need to dial a 1 in front of the area code. Once again, that's 347-884-8125. I'm going to play some music, and let's see what my husband, Fernando, the main host, the Great Infernal, has. It's titled, Oh Brother. Let's see what this sounds like.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down.
About the Lord, you know, sometimes we go through hard times, and when we read the Bible, you know, we get in there, we read the Bible, and we're able to bring back to our memory, you know, the Bible. It's pretty nice. I'm feeling better now. Definitely had some, like, you know, we weren't able to go to church today because of the weather, and also the kids happened to get sick, so it's a wise choice my husband made to not go to church. We go to a church that's in the country, and, you know, I mean, it definitely helps, like, if you're not able to go to church. Some tips that I found helpful, I'm not saying don't ever go to church, it's best to try to go to church, but when it's cold out, like I said, we go to a church that's in the country. Sometimes our cell phone might not get a signal. We have 5 kids that are little, and we don't want to get stranded. So what I have found helpful is reading the Bible, trying to read it every day, and also praying, and also talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, because that is the purpose of going to church, is to go to church, get together with other saints, and encourage one another. So those are some tips. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to say don't ever go to church, but I'm trying to say is that if you're not able to go to church, whether you're disabled or maybe you don't even have to be old. Maybe you're 29 and you have, like, weak bones, you know, and you don't want to fall, you know, or something like that in the bad weather. You don't want to fall down and break a hip. You can, you know, definitely find somebody that you can talk to. You know, if you go to church, there's probably going to be somebody there that you can, you know, that you can have a conversation with, that you can, you know, talk to. And, you know, I mean, I hope you guys do. But if you don't, you know, I mean, go ahead and, like I said, you can go to shop. I mean, it's no glory to me. I mean, I'm not perfect. But if you don't have anybody to talk to, you know, if you don't have a church, look for somebody. Otherwise, I mean, you can call into our radio show and talk to us about the Lord, and we're willing to help. That's what we're here for, and may God continue to give us the strength, you know, and grace to endure this hardships of life, you know, and so that we can be, you know, there to help other people. And like I said, it's not glory to us. It's this is our job. Our job is to go, you know, and try to encourage one another. You know, and people encourage us too. I mean, like, definitely. I mean, I've gone through hard times, and people have just said, like, things to me that I'm like, you know what, if God can do that for that person, God can do that for me too. And it definitely, you know, encouraged me, whether they were trying to encourage me or not, you know. But I in the Bible, there are it does talk about, I believe, his name is Barnabas in the book of Acts. He was known as the encourager, you know. And it's nice to try to aim to be the encourager. And like I said, we're not perfect, but we are trying to be perfect. The word perfect means aiming. Aiming to do what's right all the time. Aiming, you know. And sometimes when you aim, you know, you miss, but you know, then you ask God to forgive you, and then you try to move forward instead of getting, you know what I mean? I mean, so definitely stay in the Word. Find somebody to talk to about the Lord. Try to get to a church. And I know it's hard to find a church that really tells the truth. I mean, like I was reading in the book of Hosea earlier, you know, I mean, there's churches out there that claim to tell the truth, but once you get into that church, you know, they're not telling the truth, you know. You definitely have to read the Bible and pray, too, because even pastors and priests are, you know, human, and they may make mistakes. They may pull a verse out that they think fits their subject, you know, or their, like, what they're preaching about, and it may be off, you know, if you read the context, it may not really fit what they're trying to teach you. So, just checking, because I hear this weird noise on my phone, but it's not anybody calling, it's just like, sounds like in and out, but anyways, so read the Bible, you know, when you find a church, if you haven't found one already, read the Bible, make sure it's accurate. We happen to go to a Pentecostal church because we believe a lot of things that they believe, but, you know, it's okay to, I do, like, there's some heaven and hell issues, like my husband says. There's heaven and hell issues, and there's this issues, like, such as, like, a heaven and hell issue. For us, we felt led by the Lord. And as we read the Bible, we felt convicted that if we were not baptized in the name of Jesus, and if we did not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as evidence of speaking in tongues, we believed that we would not go to heaven. So we did that. We, you know, the Lord gave us the Holy Ghost, and we were baptized in Jesus' name. And I was baptized when I was a baby, I think, because I was raised Catholic, and I was baptized when I first came into the church. I was baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But if you really think about it, the key word is name. That's like a jewel. All the Bible is a jewel, but, you know, there's things that if you're praying and the Lord can reveal to you, you know, like, I believe that the key word is in the name of the Lord, I mean, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles. Jesus is the name of the Lord. So, and then if you read the book of Acts, which is like the example of the beginning church, whenever you see somebody getting baptized, they always get baptized in Jesus' name. Like, whether it's say in the name of the Lord, which was Jesus, then say, like, you know, because in the old days, if somebody said in the name of the Lord, it could be any, you know, any Lord, probably. You know, I don't know, I didn't live back then, but I'm just thinking, you know, and so, like, in a lot of places it says in the name of Jesus. So, and actually there's a book, in the book of Acts, chapter 10, I didn't know this, but there was a man named Cornelius, and he was righteous. He gave alms. You know, he gave to people, like I think to the poor few, he gave to the poor people, and he even prayed. God heard his prayers, but he was not saved until he was baptized in Jesus' name, and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost as evidence in speaking in tongues. And if you read this book of Acts chapter 11, it does talk about how apostles were like, wow, they have the gift of the Holy Ghost too. You know, how did they know what the gift of the Holy Ghost was? Well, if you read in Acts chapter 1 or 2, it talks about how when Jesus rose to heaven, it was the day of Pentecost, and flames like tongues, like flames of fire, came down upon the apostles, and they all were speaking in different languages, and people that were coming to Jerusalem, they all heard them in their own language. And then some people said they were drunk. It was like, I think, 9 in the morning. And people were like, they can't be drunk at 9 in the morning. But the things they were saying were glorifying to God. You know, how do you know if speaking in tongues is of God? What are you doing before you speak in tongues? Were you praising God? If you were praising God and praying to God, Jesus Christ, then when you speak in tongues, it is of the Lord, because where the praise of God is, Satan cannot be. Also, like, if you ever have, like, panic attacks, you know what I mean? I know it's easier said than done, and it may be like, you know, you may be thinking, yeah, she says, you know, like, and yeah, I don't know if I want to risk that, or, you know, something like that. I have found that even in labor, I mean, like, if I have, like in labor, let's see, it would be, like, at least the third and the fifth. The fourth child I was in labor with, I was kind of dealing with pride, and I so used to relying on the Lord, and then my husband started being around more, and I had a hard time dealing, you know, hard time to rely on the Lord without making my husband feel like I don't need him, you know. So I was like really have a hard time. So, but the third and fifth pregnancy, I remember, like, as I was in labor, whenever I would have those labor pains, I'd be like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and the edge of the labor pains would be taken off. I'm serious, it was. And like I heard when we started going to church, we've been going to now for about 4.5 years. And praise God for that. And so I heard that in the Bible, and I think I've read it too, but I don't know offhand where it is. But where praise, you know, where God's people are praising him, there he is in the midst of them. And I believe it's in Psalms that says that. And it's true. You ever having panic attacks? I know it may sound weird. Why are you going to praise God, you know, during panic attacks? But it does say in First Thessalonians, it says, you know, First Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is, and it says, in all things, give thanks. You know, if you are having a panic attack, no, don't be necessarily thankful you have a panic attack, but you could be thankful for something else. Are you thankful you have breath? Are you thankful that you can breathe and it doesn't hurt to breathe? Are you thankful you have water? Running water. Some people in the world don't even have running water, you know. I mean, what are you thankful for? Just start thanking God, you know, and say, or even just say, if you can't, you can just say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are going to feel better, because God's word does not lie, and it does say, you know, it does say where God's people are praising him, there he is in the midst of in the midst of their praises. You know what? Where God is, Satan can't be. You know, just like with the boogeyman. My brother was teasing me one day. He's like, the boogeyman's in there? And I said to him, I was like, well, if you have Jesus living here, don't you? If you have Jesus living here, you don't have the boogeyman. You know, that's the truth. That is the truth. Boogeyman is a monster. And you know what? Where God is, the monster cannot be. Now, my husband wrote this description, a conservative talk with Don and Mary. Like I said, my co-host Mary, she had other plans for tonight, but maybe she'll be on another time. My time is running out. I have six minutes remaining. said I'll be talking about current events, politics, and religions. So I do talk about religions most of the time. I did talk about religion most of the time, but bringing it into politics, you know, President-elect Barack Obama, you know, there is still opportunity that if God doesn't want him to be president over America, God can do that, you know. But you know what? I do not want to be starting any strife about Barack Obama, because you know what? We still need to respect him, whether we voted for him or not, because you know what? In Book of Romans, it says, there will not be a ruler over anybody unless God puts him there. God allowed Barack Obama to become the president-elect, and we need to respect him and we need to pray for him. God's word says that he can soften even the king's heart. Even the, I'm not saying Barack Obama's cruel, but I'm saying that there was a story in the Bible that this was said. There was a very, I think it was a very cruel king. And it may have even, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but I think it may have even been said about Jezebel's husband, but I don't know, like, for sure. But anyway, so it's, you know, in the Bible, and I believe it's in the Old Testament, he said, in God's word says, that even a king's heart, God can soften. And you know what? If you even, you know, you need to respect Obama. You need to respect the rich because, you know what, I mean, it's not like saying have a favoritism to the rich or the famous. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is a verse in Ecclesiastes, if you read it, it does say that, you know, don't talk about the king in your bedroom because a bird, a little bird, may go and tell him. It says do not curse the rich on your bed because they may find out. You know, and so you just need to follow God's word. It gives you directions for life. You know, and even your husband, you know, if you're married, respect him. Even if you think that he doesn't deserve respect. You know what? Jesus Christ loved women, men and women and children before we even deserved love. You know, he extended mercy to us, which means he gave us grace when we did not deserve it. So build your husband up. That's what I have to say to the women. Build your husband up. Be positive to him. Try to tell him positive thing, at least one positive thing every day. You know, he's getting beat up over there at work, spiritually, physically. But I don't know. Anyway, maybe not physically, but emotionally, mentally. And he needs a wife that will build him up. And even I need God's strength to continue to do that for my husband. I mean, my husband's not a bad husband, but, you know, Satan tries to tear down a marriage, whether you're walking with God or not. But the thing is when you have God, you have help. You have help. You know, Satan comes with kin, and especially God's children. Satan loves to try to get to the church because if he gets to the people of the church, he can get people that's not in the church to say, look at what happened to them, and they go to church, you know, so we just need to really be strong. Current events, you know, they're saying that within the next 5 years that somebody may have, you know, a possibility of bringing another attack on New York, and so, you know what, don't worry about it. God will take care of it, and we just need to live for God. My time is running low right now, but I thank you for listening, everybody who listened. And so hopefully my co-host Mary will be able to make it next time. And I hope that, you know, you guys learned something. I mean, not guys, but I mean, I'm not here to teach men. I'm here to teach women. But I did read from the Bible. And so if there are men reading, you know, just be the leader of the thing. I don't want to, like, teach men. Read the Bible. That's a good thing. Read the Bible. And what the Bible says is good. God is good all the time. And rejoice in the Lord. May you all have a blessed and joyful new year. For I believe that happiness is a feeling and emotion, and they can lie, you know. A joy is something, whether you feel it or not, you may have it. God gives joy. Take off your, if you, and then once again, you need any help. Pray, and so have a great day. Blessed be the Lord Almighty. So I think that's it, and it says that I have 1 minute remaining, and this is my first time, so I don't know necessarily how to end it, but if you need any like health and nutritional supplements, anti-aging, go to shopinsuperhighway.com. And this show is brought to you by shopinsuperhighway.com. If you have bone density problem, go and find the Calcium Plus on that website, shopinsuperhighway.com. And I've heard great testimonies about that, helping with the bone density. And I use that, and it has vitamin C, vitamin D, magnesium, and all five types of calcium, so that just about everybody can absorb it. Yep, they try to make it where people can absorb that calcium. I have different types. So, yeah, 22 seconds remaining, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you, and joyful New Year, and Merry Christmas. Even though Christmas is past, Christmas still can be celebrated in our hearts, for Jesus was born to die. And may God bless you all. Bye.